Cape Talk.
The UK Report.
With Gavin Gray joining us on the line from London. Gavin, we start in Paris this morning where the protests continue and over 1,000 people have been detained by police yesterday. Good morning.
Good morning, Africa. Yes, indeed. The fourth consecutive weekend of national protests in France. Once again, tear gas and rubber bullets used in the very center of Paris. And the French Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, has vowed to, quote, restore national unity. Well, there's a lot to do for him and his colleagues and ministers because these protests, which started all about a fuel duty, a fuel tax imposed on French people, have really widened into general dispute. There's a strike amongst some airport workers, administration staff. There's a strike from teaching staff. And this all began with something about fuel duty. So it really has widened to encompass a much greater discontent, I suppose. It was estimated 125,000 people took part in marches across the country yesterday. Nearly 90,000 police officers deployed, 8,000 in Paris, and 12 armored vehicles as well. Around 10,000 demonstrated in Paris itself. And really, right along those big streets, the Champs-Élysées, very, you know, iconic sites, the Eiffel Tower was shut. Many of the protesters were simply dispersed there, but many went down some more minor roads where windows were smashed, cars were burned, shops were looted. And there's some really pretty nasty video footage showing protesters being hit by rubber bullets and at least three members of the press among those hit. So some difficult decisions now for President Emmanuel Macron with his opinion poll rating really on the floor. But I suppose in some sense, a slightly smaller crowd gathered, but still 100,000. And the question is, can he continue on with so many of his policies on austerity?
An important question indeed. Now, mobile operator O2 has said its data networks have been restored a day of disruption from smartphone users across the UK.
Yes, and this caused massive disruption for people in the UK. Now, you know, this isn't just people making a phone call or a text and being part of a sensitive generation who are too reliant on their mobile phones. It also affected businesses because many businesses use the network to accept credit card payments. There was a story of a whole plumber's company that uses that network to basically keep track of where their plumbers are and inform their customers of where they're going, what time they'll be with them to fix their boilers and mend their pipes and so forth. So it really was causing widespread disruption. Now, O2, the mobile network, blamed Ericsson, and they issued a joint apology together for the millions of customers hit by the disruption. O2 has 25 million users in the UK, but it also provides services for some other networks here in the UK, which have roughly 7 million users. So more than 30 million people here affected. And as I said, businesses too, but also unusual things, and I never realized this, bus timetable information also faced disruption. Now, many bus stops in the capital have real-time information about when the next bus will be along and how long to wait, etc. All that was disrupted because of the hit on O2, as were some London transport services offering a similar thing too. So this really had been a very, very bad breakdown of communications, with it being the second largest mobile network here in the UK.
Devastating. Now, Tuesday is an important day because your parliament decides on Brexit, and all indications are that Prime Minister Theresa May is going to lose this vote.
Yes, I really don't know where to start with this story, Africa. There's so much to say. But Theresa May now warning of uncharted waters if the MPs reject her Brexit bill on Tuesday. She said that proposals, if they're rejected, would give a grave uncertainty to the UK, that if they reject them, there's a very real risk of no Brexit at all. And, of course, many of her MPs are worried that it might well lead to her resignation, a leadership election and a general election. And if you look at the opinion polls, it's a general election that the current party of government, the Conservatives, would lose. Now, what does all this mean? Well, She's trying to exert the pressure on MPs to try and turn things around. But all the indications suggest that she's going to lose this vote. Now, there is a rumor that she may then go back to Brussels and try and renegotiate the deal. But Brussels has been playing hardball with that. There is another rumor that this was her intention all the way along to suggest something which she knew wouldn't be acceptable so that she could go back to Brussels with a stronger hand. All sorts of rumors sweeping the rounds, as you can imagine. But Labour, the party of opposition, the third party, Liberal Democrats, the DUP, the party from Northern Ireland, on whom the government relies for its overall majority, and dozens of her own MPs have said they cannot support this deal because it's unlikely now to pass. And that's all really owing to this so-called Northern Ireland backstop provision. And that basically is a paragraph within her Brexit deal that says that Britain will continue to remain, as it were, in the European Union, but eventually will need the European Union's permission to bring that deal to a halt, to actually formally leave and completely leave. And many say, hang on a minute, that's not Brexit. That's having to rely once again on the Europeans. And they say they fear that the European Union might say, well, no, you can't leave at the moment. It's not convenient. And that situation could go on for many, many years.
The UK's stock market hit the lowest level for 2 years on Thursday. Was it anywhere related to this?
Yes, partially to this, and partially also as a result of all the trade concerns in America, because stock indices around the world plummeted. It was particularly bad at one point for the FTSE. Now, the FTSE actually did end the week on Friday up 1%, but that really was small beer in comparison to how it had been doing. It absolutely fell more than 3.2%. That's more than 200 points to close at its lowest level in 2 years. Now, it's only sort of slightly, therefore, above that. Falls on European markets, though, were even steeper. Paris and Frankfurt both shedding 3.5%. Oil prices also sank, with Brent crude, that's the North Sea oil, finishing 2% lower on the day. It was oil companies, mining companies, car makers and tech stocks that were the worst hit, although some have said they really do think that it's been a rather overly gloomy perception of how the economy is standing. And the International Monetary Fund Managing Director Christine Lagarde said that worries about recession were a little bit overdone. But, of course, that uncertainty was causing increased volatility.
What's been the impact of the hot summer in the UK?
And a rather unusual one. It has, I'm afraid, been a steep rise in subsidence. Now, subsidence is, as you probably know and dread if it happens to you, is when the earth beneath your building dries up, and that's particularly bad if you're on a clay soil, and leads to cracks as part of the foundations of your house expand or retract in different measures. And in some cases, whole buildings have to be torn down, or maybe walls have to be propped up and then rebuilt underneath. And after a fantastic summer here in the UK, with weeks and weeks of really quite warm or even hot temperatures, subsidence, I'm afraid, is back with a vengeance, and claims have increased significantly over this year. So homeowners being warned to keep an eye on cracks, of course, and one can only hope they are insured, because it's an extremely expensive business to repair.
Indeed. Let's finish off with a married couple who bought a large house in the fields on the edge of a village in Germany, south of Munich, who are now suing a farmer over the clanging cowbells on a field.
Yes, a lovely, if not unusual story. So they moved into the house in 2011, and the field was empty. Now, it's a village that is south of Munich, so the field was empty, and they loved their view. But it is a field used by farms, and so the farmer, the landowner, leased the field to a dairy farmer, and basically the cows moved in. Now, in much of Bavaria, it is a tradition to hang from each cow a cowbell. That has come from a history where they've been allowed to roam free on the mountains so you can hear where they are. Of course, it's very something that you always imagine in Switzerland. Anyway, the couple not only did not like the noise of the cowbell, saying, why don't you use GPS? And anyway, they're in an enclosed field, so you know you don't need these cowbells. They said that it had caused them to suffer depression and sleepless nights. They said as well the animals were mooing loudly, and also said that the manure that the animals produced was a very smelly quality, and that brought in insects. So, believe it or not, they've launched a lawsuit against the farmer and sued the local council for leasing the meadow to the farmer for grazing. The couple, the husband's now died, but the wife is taking this on, we expect a court ruling sometime in January. For now, however, there is no cowbell noise because the cows that dairy farmer has spend the winter months in sheds. The question is, what will happen early next year?
Such a silly story. An important one, but a silly one indeed. It's like me moving into the center of town and not expecting there to be hooting taxis every time I open my eyes.
Yeah.
Kevin Gray, thank you very much indeed. He's back with us next week, Sunday. It's 22 minutes past 9 o'clock.